Lovely. All right. Well, my name is Ben Dew, and I'm super fired up to get to share the word with you today. I got a call last night at 11:20 p.m. I got a call at 11:20. I was like, "Who's calling me this late?" And I was in the bathroom. I was indisposed, and I got a call, and I look, and it's Pastor Ron Miller. And Pastor Ron is calling. I'm like, "What does Pastor Ron want at 11:20 at night?" So I pick it up, and he just says, "Ben, I'm fired up that you're going to speak tomorrow. I love you. I'm praying for you." And then he prayed for me. And he said, "Well, have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow." And I got off the phone, and I was just really touched by the love of God that our senior pastor just thought of me and called me and wanted to support me. And it really meant a lot to me. And Pastor Ron, I want you to thank you for just taking a chance on a little boy from Houston and taking me in the sixth round and giving me a chance. So thank you very much. As some of you know, we're in our four series based on a book by Jeff Henderson. It's called Know What You're For. Great book, highly recommend it. I read even less than Pastor Rhonda, so if I recommend a book, that means like, oh my gosh, like this is a big time book. So I recommend it highly. Know What You're For. It's very good. And Pastor Ron has been preaching the last 2 weeks on that, and he's been really focusing on that God is for us. And just the power that comes in that, and that we, if God is actually for us, who can be against us? And that we can be more than conquerors, and that, yes, we may know that in our minds, but do we really believe it? Do we really act it out? If I looked at your life, if you looked at my life, would you see someone who lives in the revelation that the God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is for me, and that no one can be against me? Do I really live that out? And sadly, if you look at my life, you probably see small pockets of that, but you wouldn't see that consistently. And so I've been challenged just personally that I need to act like God's for me, right? And so today, I feel like the Lord would speak to us a little simpler message. I'm really grateful to the Lord. He speaks to me, big football player. He speaks to me very simply and very practically, and I'm very grateful for that. So he gives Pastor Ron visions and, this is the plan and destiny, and he gives me very simple, practical messages. So hopefully I can encourage you today, and we can take this vision that God has given our church, and we can apply it to our lives, and we can make it personal. And so one of the questions I want to ask ourselves is, if God is for me, how do I be for myself, and then how do I be for others? So yes, we know God's for us. But how do we be for ourselves, and how do we be for others? And we understand that the world needs Jesus, but what are we actually doing? What can we practically do during COVID, right? Is the Great Commission, are we on pause right now? Are we stopping reaching our neighbors? Are we stopped evangelizing? Or what can we do? How can we honor the authority that God has put in our life in the form of government, but at the same time, be bold and understand that God is for us? And so we're going to look at that today. But first, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all these wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you would come anoint me today and that I would speak your words. Lord, I pray that you would just help me empty myself of any selfishness or anything that I want to communicate, but it would be your words flowing through me. Lord, I pray that you would convict those who need to be convicted and encourage those who need to be encouraged. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I want to share a scripture. And this scripture is, it's really Mark 12, 30 through 31. And Jesus is speaking and he says, these are the two most important commandments in the whole wide world. Like, this is it. And he's actually quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Okay, so we're going to go to Deuteronomy, and the scripture will be above 6, and it's verses 4 through 9. So I'll read it out. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as priestly head coverings between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So Moses, God was speaking to Moses and the people of Israel, and he was saying, this is the number one thing that I want you to obsess about, that you need to love God. Think about that. Not that you got to follow these rules, but you need to love God. Actually, God is, he's summing up the whole reason he put us on earth. The reason he put us in the Garden of Eden in the first place was to enjoy the world and love him, be in relationship with him. So he's telling Moses, you got to love God, and it's got to be the most important thing. You got to tell your kids about it. You got to think about it. Whatever and whenever you're doing, you've got to, you know, it's got to be like over your face. It's got to be on your hand. It's got to be on your door frame. It's got to be in your gates and your cities. This is the most important thing. You've got to love God. And Jesus, he adds a second greatest commandment. He says, that's number one, is love the Lord your God. But number two, in Mark 12, 31, he says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Okay, so he says something very interesting. He says you have to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. But he gives you a standard to which you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I want to talk a little bit about self-love. No, I don't want to, it's not going to be weird, but I want to talk a little bit about how do we actually love ourselves? How do we accept the identity that Jesus has given us in the Bible? And how do we take this love, get it, and then love others? See, I think very much in my life, I've grown up thinking, okay, I got to love God, and I've got to love others. And I kind of get lost in that equation. I become a performing robot that does good things, but my soul is just gone, and I don't feel loved, so how can I possibly love others? And I think if we look at the world around us, I'd say we could all pretty much see that we're not doing a very good job of loving each other. Loving our neighbors. I mean, if you turn on the news, if you turn on social media, if you look at anything, if you talk to people, you don't feel love. You see division and rioting and all this terrible stuff and murder and all these terrible things going on, and like, why are we not loving our neighbor? And so there's an equation, there's a holy equation here. It's God loves us, he's for us. When we receive that love and we love him back, then we can be fully loved by God, and we can love ourselves, and then we can love others, okay? And so what I want to help us to get to today is just talk really practically about how we can get there, how we can understand the love of God, we can love him back, we can fully love ourselves, and then we can love others, okay? And the truth is, loving ourselves, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm excited, is that when we love ourselves, we don't love ourselves because, oh, I'm this or I'm that. We love ourselves because God gives us intrinsic value, and he gives us identity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I remember when I was playing football at University of Hawaii and then the University of Houston. I was the offensive line. I was a big guy. So I'm 275 right now. You know, I'm getting a body by Ronnie. Come on now. Come to Titus. Come on, Adam. So, but I was 315 when I played. That's 40 pounds heavier. Some of that was muscle, some of it wasn't, right? And so I was a big guy. I was a pretty good offensive lineman. I was a starter. I played 22 games, you know. But I was a big dude, and it wasn't always the best time to take my shirt off at 315. You know, I didn't always like what I saw in the mirror. And just because I was quote-unquote successful, I really was jealous of other guys on the football team, like the quarterbacks or the safeties who were just, you know, chiseled up and who were just, you know, getting all the girls. And I was just the fat dude over there at the buffet, just, you know, trying to keep my weight on, you know. And then I get mad at myself and eat more, and it was bad. I love food. I love food. Oh, my gosh, I love food. My sisters, my mom, they love to bake. I tell them, I said, if you guys didn't cook so good, I would have been a tight end. I ate myself into offensive line. So anyway, we're getting off track here. I love food. Oh, my gosh. But I really hated who I was. I hated myself. I didn't like who I saw. And what happened was because I hated myself, and I started hating and being very critical of people around me. So I used that as violence in football to be a really good football player. That I'm going to motivate myself to all the people who think I'm fat, all the people who don't like me, all the people who said I could never do it. I'm going to use that anger, and I'm going to pancake the living snot out of people. I'm going to be a good football player. But the truth was, I really hated myself, right? And there was no way I could love anyone while I hated myself. No way. And I had different relationships in college, and all of it was medication. I needed someone to love me because I didn't love myself. Right? It's like, We're talking about food. Let's talk about dieting. Here we go. So for so long, I would diet because I hated who I was. And it's like you punish yourself. You like calorie restrict to punish yourself. But I didn't actually end up losing weight until the Lord revealed to me that, hey, Ben, you need to love yourself and respect yourself. And out of love, you actually eat good stuff for you. You eat fruits and vegetables. You eat lean protein. You get enough sleep. You actually work out. Not because you hate yourself, you try to punish yourself, but because you love yourself, right? Now here's a big point, and this is going to be so simple, but it's really hard. Is we know God loves us, but a lot of us don't receive it, and don't receive it fully. See, I know God loves me. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. But I don't always receive or act like it. Okay? It's one thing to say, God, okay, I know you love me, God, but what does that actually mean today? But do I actually live like God loves me? Do you actually live like God loves you, right? Do you go confidently before him? Do you love others like God loves you, right? So we actually have to constantly remind ourselves to receive the love of Jesus, not just know the love of Jesus, right? And one of my biggest battles, I mean, I'm going to get real personal today, but one of my biggest battles in life has been reminding myself that God loves me and God has saved me even when I don't feel like it, even when I feel condemned, even when I feel shame, even when I feel guilt, reminding me that, you know what, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not based on what I did. It's all based about what he did. And so just because I could never earn his love in the first place, I can never keep his love in the second place. And Paul says, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, why do you think that because you've been set free in the spirit, now you can perfect yourself in the flesh? Meaning God supernaturally came down and gave you salvation. Why do you think that you can earn it and keep the salvation? You can't. You never will. You never will. And one of the biggest problems I think facing the church and people, really everyone, it's a human problem, is that we're in an identity crisis. Who are we? Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm loved. But what does that mean? Who am I? Right? And we don't want to do this, but we naturally, we highlight strengths in our life and we hide weaknesses. We go to churches, we go to communities, we go to groups that people are like us. People will celebrate us, but we never get exposed for who we really are. And it's because we have an identity issue. We have an identity crisis. Because even if we know what God says about us, we don't actually believe it. We really don't. I don't. All the time. You know, I work with a lot of youth and college athletes, and, you know, I have coffee, you know, like last week, Tuesday, I had 7 one-on-one meetings with athletes on Tuesday. And the biggest thing I see is that they all are trying to perform for identity. They all think that they need to work, they have to have this truck, they have to have this girlfriend, they have to, you know, get this scholarship or do this, and they're all trying to earn approval. They're all trying to find their identity. They're trying to put their identity in what they do rather than who they are. And so what I believe that God has put me on this earth to do is to help athletes and really help young people realize that you can never perform enough to be loved by God. It's not what you do equals who you are. It's who you are equals what you do. And so it's reverse. And so I try to help athletes figure that out, that you can never be good enough for God. Yes, you can perform in sports and perform in school, but you can't perform for God. It's the only thing that it doesn't work like that. And so I want to talk to you really quick about 4 principles of identity, and these are just more thoughts I have. And this is in the category of how do we love ourselves? How do we accept the identity that Jesus has given us, that God has given us? And the first one's very basic. It's how do we understand, we have to understand our identity in Christ. If you look at Jesus in the Bible, he always added value to people. He never took value away. I think the story that pops up in my head the most is when the woman was found caught in adultery and she was dragged shamefully through the streets to Jesus, just embarrassed, devalued, and just spit upon and cursed and just dragged before Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't want to cry, but Jesus said, he who's without sin cast the first stone. Then all her accusers left, and he said, your accusers are gone. I don't accuse you either. And he said, now go and sin no longer. Meaning, I love you so much, I'm giving you a mission. That I believe in you and I'm entrusting with you righteousness to go do what I've called you to do. Jesus always added value to people, all the time. And Jesus wants to add value to us today. We are made in the image of God. This is really the core of where we get our value, is that God created us in his own image. Pastor Ron spoke about this the last 2 weeks, is that really the only difference between us and the devil is that we're made in God's image, and Jesus really loves us. Like, really loves us. Like, out of control loves us. Some would say reckless love. But that's the only difference. And so our identity is in the image that we bear. It's not in what we do. I mean, if I had like a bar of gold, right? And let's say it's worth, I don't know what gold's worth. But let's say it's worth, you know, $10,000 for a big bar of gold, right? And let's say I take that bar of gold and, you know, we throw it in the dirt and we, you know, ding it up a little bit. We bend it a little bit and we put it in the ocean for a while, or we mess it all up, right? That gold is still worth $10,000 because of what it is. Not because of what's happened to it or what it's done. And that's why we have value. It's not about what we do. Literally nothing, and don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go sin. But there's literally nothing you can do that can devalue you in God's eyes. God didn't come for those who really behave well. He came to those who behave terribly. So we have value. We have intrinsic value. And that's why we have church. That's why we preach the gospels, because we have value. We have an image that we bear. So, like I said, a lot of people know that, yeah, okay, I have identity, I have value, but we never act like it. I was talking to a young baseball player last week, and I was talking to him, and I was like, listen, champ, won't say his name, but listen, champ, one of the biggest things is not that you're devaluing others, but you're not valuing yourself. Do you understand, when you put those substances in your body, when you do that with other people, when you act like that, when you behave like that, yes, you're sinning against God and you're breaking rules, which is bad, but you are devaluing yourself. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are? And so the world doesn't need to hear that don't sin because the Bible says not to do it. They need to hear that you have a value. You are worth something. Don't devalue yourself. Act like God is king, and he loves you, and he's for you. Number two, we must daily remind ourselves who God is and who we are. This is, I'm telling you, this will solve about 100% of your problems. If you wake up every day and remind yourself, God, you created the universe, you're all-powerful, you're worthy of all my praise, you're worthy of me dedicating my life to, and you actually love me. You're tremendously in love with me. I remember that. And then two, I'm a prince. I'm a son of God. I have value, not because of anything I've ever done, but because of who you say that I am. If you remember those two things, you will save yourself from a world of pain. And in terms of what we're facing in terms of COVID and racial tensions and all the things plaguing our country and our world, all the sin we face, is do we really live like God is everything we need? Do we really live like that? Do I really behave in such a way that God is all I need, or do I think a face mask is what I need, or social distancing is really what I need, or new government programs is what I need? Is God really what I need? Do we live like that? We have to daily remind ourselves, daily. I think, I forget which preacher told me this, but he said, Ben, most Christians, most people don't need new revelation. They need daily reminders, right? So I don't need a new revelation of, if we've grown up in church, you all kind of know, you know, what God did for you, what Jesus did for you on the cross, right? And we'll talk about that more, but we have to remind ourselves daily that he did it for me. That I'm worthy. I'm worth it. And I tell people this all the time on college campuses, is that Jesus didn't just die because he liked to die. Jesus traded value for value. Jesus didn't. He could have just come down and said, you know what, I'm going to make $1 trillion here, and I'm going to trade that for the sins of the world. But he said, no, I'm going to actually die for them, for their lives. He traded value for value. Jesus didn't have a death wish. He paid the price for us. He paid the price for us. Number three, we have to rejoice in the strengths and the weaknesses that God has given us. See, we're made in God's image, and we like to focus on the giftings and the strengths, which is great, but God also gave us weaknesses. In God's ultimate wisdom, he gave Bendu tremendous weakness. And until you can actually come to terms with that and say, I need help with my weakness, I'm going to find people who are going to help me with my weaknesses, or I'm going to be okay with having this proclivity or this propensity to do this thing, right? If I'm not okay with that, I'll never truly love myself and love what Jesus loves, which is me. But God, in his wisdom, he gave us weaknesses. We have to lean into that, right? Not hide those, not be ashamed of those, but love who we are. It's okay that we're not perfect. You know, in the church in Houston I was at, we made a t-shirt. It said, no perfect people allowed. And Pastor Ron teased me about that every once in a while. But no perfect people allowed. And it's true. It's that, not that you can ever be perfect. It's people who think they're perfect. They're not allowed. Because you have to have a humility to realize that I have a really big need for a Savior every single day, every single second. And I really need Jesus. And I really need his love. And I really need to love myself as he loves me, and I have to love others. You know, when I was growing up in New Zealand, I played high school rugby, and all the guys in New Zealand, it's so funny, they're these white guys, but they're so skinny. Like, everyone was emo. It was all like skinny jeans and like fringe, and it was just, ugh, and it was so bad. And I was like playing rugby and basketball, and I was like the American guy, and I was a large lad, you know, I was a big boy, you know, I loved to hit, I loved to rough it up. And I just remember feeling so criticized for being who I was. And I remember internalizing that and feeling so self-conscious. And besides that, this is a side point, but no clothes fit. Like, their double X is like a medium. Anyway, so I couldn't find clothes. It was terrible. And so I was always insecure. I felt terrible. And also, the high school girls, they like skinny guys. So I got rejected by all the girls, and I'm like, what the heck is going on here, you know? Like, I'm trying to be a manly man, but no one loves that over here. And so, anyway, the point is not that. The point is that I really was critical of myself, and it manifested in really critical humor. I would tear other people down all the time. It's because I didn't actually lean into my weaknesses and realize God made me 6'4". God made me big boned. I'm a big boned boy. I didn't lean into my weaknesses. And you know what? I said, I don't need New Zealanders or girls to approve of me. I need Jesus. I have value of myself. I value myself. And it really wasn't until God fully healed me and fully showed me that I'm worth loving and that I can actually love myself and that he really loves me and I have value that I could then start finally loving others. Because I'll tell you this, I've shared this before, but if you go on campus or you try to preach the gospel to somebody or evangelize, right, and you really hate yourself, and you're saying, hey, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you should hate yourself like I hate myself, it never works. But if you come from a place of, I'm fully loved, I'm fully whole, I want you to come to Jesus, but my value's not based on whether you do or not, people are actually, wow, like that's kind of attractive. I want to be a son or a daughter of God too, right? And it's all, the foundation of all of this has to be humility. It's saying, God, I'm going to let you define me. I'm going to let your word define me. I'm not going to let politicians define me. I'm not going to let my emotions or my friends or my feelings define me. I'm going to let you define me every single day. And it takes a humility to say, God, even though I feel hated or I hate myself, I'm going to love myself because you love me. Or God, I really want nothing to do with this group of people. I want nothing to do with my neighbors. I want nothing to do with this person, but I'm going to have humility and say, God, I'm going to go because you first loved me. And it's when I learned that my feelings are actually betray me a lot. My emotions are not always on my side. It's when I started realizing that I have to constantly remind myself the word of God, that God loves me, that he's for me, that I need to love him, I need to love myself, that's when I got breakthrough. But it's humility. We have to be humble enough to realize that God is for me. We have to be humble enough to realize that I have value and I could be for myself. We have to be humble enough to say, I can be for others. It takes a tremendous amount of humility. So, as we're kind of starting to close, I want to just give four practical points about how do I love people? How do we be for people during COVID? Okay, and so that middle section was all about self. It was how do we allow God? How can we change our perspective? How can we fight to feel the love of God, to understand we're loved, to love God? Now, this last part is for those people who maybe are like, you know what? I'm actually doing pretty good. Like, I love myself. I'm doing good. I know God loves me. I'm pretty secure. But I'm having a really tough time figuring out how do I still contact and be for people during COVID, okay? So I felt like the Lord wanted to share this and just some real practical perspectives that we have at this church and that I think would help all of us. So number one is we have to operate in faith, not fear. And we know this, but when you really think about it and you look at the Word of God, we have this amazing gift called faith that is very contrary and a lot of times to reality. This will be happening in the world, but this is happening in the faith realm. And we have to be in touch with the faith realm that even if the whole world is shut down because of COVID, that is not what God has called us to in faith. Right? And so we have to fight fear with faith. We have to constantly be people of faith. We first have to operate in faith ourselves. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we don't follow health regulations or guidelines and we don't be smart. What I'm saying is that there is a higher law that we follow, and that Christians throughout all of history have been the ones that have gone into leprosy camps, have been gone into places of plague, have gone into places of disease and said, guess what? I have faith that your life has value even if I die, that God has called me to you. And because I love God and because I love myself and now I love you, God has called me to reach you. So we have a level of faith we have to operate in. I don't know if anyone has, I don't have any children yet. See what happens. Come on, Faith. I have faith for it. No. But I don't have any children yet, but I've seen like little kids who are just terrified, like irrationally terrified of stuff, like going to school or jumping off the high dive or stuff like that. And good parents, they actually help their kids through their irrational fear. And they say, I know you're scared of going to school. I know you're scared of new people. I know you don't want to do this, but because I love you, I'm going to help you do something you don't want to do. And so God has given us this message as the people of God, as the people who love God, are loved by God. We actually have to help people think about faith or connect with their faith and say, you know what? Even though I'm afraid, even though I'm terrified, even though I don't want to do this, I can still step out in faith. Right? We have to be a people of faith. We have to be a people of faith. I think one of the, or two of the biggest things that have attached themselves to this COVID pandemic is fear. We know that, but it's also flesh. Like, it's really easy to stay at home. Like, why would I go to church, honestly? Like, why would I go to work? Wait, I can stay at home and do work? Yeah, let's do that for another couple years. You know what I mean? I mean, we're fighting faith, we're fighting fear and flesh. So we have to operate in faith. And faith is very uncomfortable a lot of the times. Faith is not, it's not convenient, it's not practical, and it's very often criticized. So we have to operate like that. Number two is you don't tell people what they need, you ask how you can help. Now it's very, I've had to fight this a lot, but when you preach the gospel to somebody or you're telling somebody, it's easy to say, listen, you need to repent. You need to get baptized. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to go through the one-to-one book. You need to come to church, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, right? It's easy to do that, but the hard part is saying, listen, what do you need? What do you need? Because students and people, they're fighting with anxiety and depression and can't get food on the table, and they couldn't, like, sometimes you meet students and it's a miracle they even left the room that day because they're so depressed and sad, right? And what God has called us to be during this time is not tell people, you should be at church, you should do this, you shouldn't wear a mask, you should do that, out of a self-righteous thing, you should. It's, how can we help you? How can I help connect you to faith? How can I help connect you to God? That's what God's called us to do. Pastor Ron and I, we kind of joke about this. I'm giving you a lot of shout-outs, Pastor Ron. You're a good man. We talk about this a lot, but our favorite question that people ask us, but almost nobody does. I think I've had one person, maybe two people, ask me this ever while I've been in ministry. And this is the question. It's a beautiful question. Hey, Pastor, what can I do to serve? How can I help? No one ever does that. Everyone's always, I've got this gifting. I got this ministry. I feel God is calling this, and I want to do this. Will you support me do my ministry? Versus, wait a second, God's given you, Pastor Ron, the stewardship of the church. How can I help you? How can I serve you? But to be really, truly for someone, you don't tell them what they need. You ask them what they need. And it's a perspective change. And we're all guilty of it. Especially if you're in coaching or in high-performing, you know, elite-level business or anything. It's all about, listen, I did this to be successful. You do this to be successful. Right? But you have to be for people. You ask them, well, how can I help you? What do you need? Number three, we add value to people even when they devalue themselves. This is hard because people will go around and do crazy things and they'll devalue themselves. You have to fight them and say, no, you are worthy and you are worth it. And I'm going to give you value even if you take it away from yourself. Right? And so it's very easy. We all have people in our lives who have made mistakes. We've made mistakes, but people who've made mistakes and we write them off. And we say, you know what? Go do your mistakes somewhere else. Versus adding value to them. Saying, God loves you. And I love you because God loves you. And you're worth it. You're worth fighting for. Right? I made my wife watch Seabiscuit the other night. Great movie. Great movie. I love it. But one of the famous lines is, just because a life is banged up a little bit doesn't mean you throw it away. And it's so true. I remember in Hawaii. I first got to Hawaii, and you know, I was raised, you know, as a Christian kid, and you know, you treat women as sisters, you value them, you respect them, you protect them, you basically you lay down your life for women. That was how I was taught. And so I got to college, and there are all these girls who were just wanted to be used and abused. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, don't you know what he wants from you? Like, don't you know what he's doing? That he doesn't want to commit to you. He just wants to use you. Like, don't you understand? And it hurt my soul. I remember I was like, these poor girls, like, don't they know they have value? They have worth? And we have to give people value even when they don't value themselves. Even when they don't value themselves. And number four, probably the most important, is we have to live the gospel and share the gospel. Live the gospel and share the gospel. Now, sharing it's not enough. You have to live it. And the gospel is this, that God loved us so much that he came down in the form of his son Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. And he was killed and buried. And on the third day, he rose again, taking our sin, taking our shame, taking our guilt, and proving by coming back to life, by being resurrected, that he was not just a good man, he was not just a prophet, he was not just my buddy, he was not just my friend, but he was God in flesh. And that if we believe in him and receive what he did for us, not what we did, but what he did for us, we too could be saved and enter into eternal life, not when we die, but here on earth. Eternal life starts now. And we may be able to share that, or we may kind of know the words to that, but we don't live it. I don't live it. Do I really believe that I have been forgiven of all my sins? Do I really believe that I was once destined for hell and destruction, but now I have a relationship with Jesus? Do I really act it out? Do I really take that approach to my finances, that if God could raise himself from the dead, he can take care of my finances? If God could raise himself from the dead and take the sin of the world, he can really take care of COVID. He can take care of my relationships. He can give me a husband and a wife. He has a future and a hope for me, that even if things aren't going the way I would plan them, that I can actually trust God to do what he's going to do. Do I really believe the gospel? And then are you really preaching the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you just saying, hey, be like me? Or are you saying, hey, I'm terrible, just like you. Be like God. He has the solution. He has the answer. I can kind of guide you some of the way, but honestly, my job is to connect you to God. That's my job, right? Please don't be like Bendu. Please be like Jesus, right? And I've gone through a little bit more stuff. God has broken me down a little bit more maybe, but I'm going to help you. But my goal is to connect you to Jesus, right? We have to live the gospel. Do we really live it? And the truth is that no one gets transformed, no one gets saved without the preaching of the gospel through the Bible and the Spirit of God. It's the gospel that's going to save us. The answer is and always will be the gospel, that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that's the pinnacle of this message, and really every message should be, is that it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And because Jesus loves you so much, you're part of the story. And you can love yourself, and you can extend that love to others. So there's a couple groups of people in this room. There's people in every part of that. Some people have never had a relationship with Jesus. They don't know that God loves them. They've never experienced that love. Some people know God loves them, but they've rejected that love, and they've partitioned it off. They receive some of the love Jesus has, but they don't truly know their identity and the boldness that Jesus wants them to walk in. And then the third group of people know that Jesus loves them, but they're actually kind of selfish. This is what I fall into a lot. I don't actually help others. I don't actually extend the same love that was given to me because I don't remind myself. And so wherever you're at, I just want to invite you to repent with me. In this church, we're not big on altar calls, you repent. We're big on we repent, because we all make mistakes. We all break this every single day. So what I want is, whatever stage you're at, if you need a relationship with Jesus, which we all do, I want to invite you this morning. If you haven't received the love of Jesus and you don't fully own the identity that God has for you, I want you to pray with me. And if you have not extended the love of Jesus to others out of fear, because you haven't been operating in faith, because you haven't known how, because whatever, I invite you this morning to repent and walk in me with that and say, let's change this world for Jesus. Not because it's a good idea, not because I'll feel good about myself, but because Jesus first loved me. All right, so with that, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we repent. Lord, whatever stage we're at, you know where every person is in this room or online. Lord, first off, we just repent for not loving you with our whole heart the way we should. Lord, we repent for not accepting and fully receiving what you did for us on the cross every day. Lord, what you did was so amazing, and if we really truly believed it, we would change the world. Lord, we repent for not fully receiving the identity you have for us, or taking part of it, for focusing on our strengths and not leaning into our weaknesses and being humble about our weakness. Lord, we repent for rejecting your identity for us as a people and as a church. Lord, we need you to move. We need you to define us. And Lord, lastly, we repent if we haven't gone out, we haven't been bold, that we've allowed politicians and social media and lawmakers and the news outlets to define what we do and define the people we're supposed to be. Lord, only you can. And Lord, you said we're more than conquerors because you loved us. And so we just repent on all three fronts. And Lord, we just say you are God and we want you to move. We want this to be about you, not about us. So we just invite you in this room. We accept your identity for us. We accept your love. Lord, I just pray that even everyone in this room would just, even if it's the first time, they would just experience the love of God, that you would touch hearts right now in the name of Jesus, that only your Spirit can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Lord, bless us. Lord, we want you. Lord, we're not very good at this Christian thing yet, but we want to be better. We want to love you. So I pray that you would help us and lead us. We don't want to play church. We want to be in your will. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for joining us online. We love you, and we're so glad that you're safe and that you're at home, but we want you to join us when you feel comfortable. But we're praying for you. If you need anything, please visit us at our website or email us. We'd love to get back to you. Thank you. If there's anyone here in this room who really wants prayer, needs prayer, wants to get right with God, wants to receive identity, or maybe has an ache or a pain in their heart that they want prayer for, please come up the front. Myself or our pastoral staff, our leaders will pray for you. But with that, have a great Sunday. We love you very much. We'll see you next week.